Rundown, LSU and Georgia, Mark Richt speaking to the media now. Aaron Murray has already spoken, and apparently part of that conversation, or at least questions going towards him in regards to Johnny Manziel and their time at the Manning camp. I think he's deflected that to the best of his ability today. Later on, Alabama and Vanderbilt. Not sure if we'll have any of Nick Saban, A.J. McCarron, or otherwise coming up here, but that's the rundown. I think McCarron is already being run down by people, and he's about to be up, I guess. So, yeah, actually Alabama going in now, and I think McCarron's going to try to deflect as much of the Manziel stuff as he can. At least that's the talk coming out of Hoover, Alabama. We'll get another check-in with David Basil at Hoover coming up in a little bit. One other thing, Les Miles, apparently. That's the big story this morning, is Les Miles talking about scheduling. That's been the hot topic, I guess, with him, and we talked about it earlier. They have not gotten a great draw. When you look at who they're playing this year, teams that did very well last year in Georgia and Florida, and, of course, Alabama at the same time playing Tennessee and Kentucky. Not exactly parity from a standpoint of scheduling, but I don't know what the answer is. It is an unfortunate deal.
When you go to these giant conferences with separate divisions, you're going to have some inequities. They have this in almost all of these leagues. One team will play somebody really good, a couple of teams, and somebody else will miss them, and the only way around that is if you play kind of a round-robin schedule where you play almost everyone right in the league. And even with that, you're still probably going to miss somebody, or somebody's going to be off your schedule.
So you might be able to create a little more parity from a scheduling standpoint if they do go to a 9-game schedule, which is the expectation.
That would help. Plus, you wouldn't be playing UAB and Louisiana Monroe and all these other schools all the time.
Poor Furman. Furman's going to miss out on some good SEC games.
Well, too bad.
Les Miles on scheduling.
The most important piece, if you were running your conference, you would say, first thing you're going to have to do is pick a champion. It should be done with its play. And certainly, if you cannot play all of the players or all of the teams in 1 year, then you would have to rotate through so that everybody in the conference then would play everybody in the conference, and that the decisions of scheduling would not be repeated year after year, but that the decisions of the scheduling would fall in an annual rotation that would allow fairness for each and every conference opponent. So to me, if it was my conference, that would be as simple as falling off a log. But you got traditions of play, you have self-serving votes, and you know, I think it's a responsibility of the conference that really it's above my pay grade. I can talk, but let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm looking forward to playing a great schedule. I got a great team, and my preparation is not going to be detracted by a scheduling conversation. So somebody's going to have to take this up. This is not my job. I am going to coach football, and I'm going to love my team. And somebody is going to have to say, how in the heck is it that LSU plays Georgia and Florida? They've played them 7 times since 2000, and there's teams in the West that have never played them at the same year. So it's really an interesting – what do you think the number is of all of the Western opponents playing Georgia and Florida? Let's go add that up and see if there's an advantage in there somewhere. I know the answers. Okay, but somebody's got to say, wow, I wonder how they come up with that scheduling quirk. Because I want you to know something. When I first got here, I just kept saying, boy, I can hardly wait till they get that schedule. Boy, I can hardly wait till they get that schedule. You know what? They don't ever get that schedule. We have played Florida and Georgia 17 times since 2000. The worst, absolutely, and certainly I'm not here to speak for Auburn in any way, but it's 19 times they've played Florida and Georgia. My goodness, they played the best in the West and the best in the East. There's got to be a problem with that scheduling, don't you think? Just a hunch.
Pretty well put.
Great point. You can't argue with that. I mean, it's very unfair.
I got to be honest. I'm going to build a bunker. I'm going to make sure to go to church 7 times next week, because Les Miles making the most sense of any of the coaches at SEC Media Days is a sure sign of the apocalypse. And we've had a lot of apocalyptic movies lately. I mean, is it going to be a World War Z type situation? Will it be zombies chomping at my face? Is it going to be stuff falling from the skies? Will it be a Sharknado? Will I be done in by a Sharknado? Les Miles, the voice of reason. Terrible.
Les is turning into Stephen Hawking all of a sudden.
I'm telling you, I'm scared to death. By the way, sidebar, I watched Sharknado HD on demand last night. I could write probably a 1,000-word essay on all of the problems with Sharknado. And when you add up a 1,000-word essay worth of problems, you get one big awesome. It is such a train wreck that it is so spectacular from the very beginning to the very end. It is the most nonsensical, poorly shot, poorly acted, poorly thought out movie I've ever seen. If you don't see it, though, you are crazy.
Is it worse than Flash Gordon?
Oh, no. Flash Gordon is Gone with the Wind by comparison. I'm not kidding you. From an effect standpoint, from a thought process standpoint, from a believability standpoint, the end of Flash Gordon where Ming gets done in by the ship that crashes into his palace and impales him on the tip of the ship is so low-key and lame compared to the end of this movie. You aren't going to believe your eyes.
So you're saying we have to watch this.
Let me tell you something else. What do we complain about all the time? Hurry up football. Hurry up golf. Hurry up movies. Do all this. It's 82 minutes of awesome.
Hurry up Sharks.
I watched it with my 6-year-old last night.
Did he like it?
He loved it. I mean, you want to talk about fun for the whole family. It is Duck Dynasty on crack. It is beautiful. It is so much fun.
Tonight's the replay.
I watched it on demand last night in HD. Do yourself a favor.
You've talked this into it. I'm in, brother.
I don't care if you watch the replay. And the thing is, I told RJ, you must resist temptation because you're going to be tempted. Not once, not twice, probably 10 to 12 times in 82 minutes to turn that sucker off. I can't watch another second of this. It's too ridiculous. Why is there a storm crashing down on a beachside bar, but the wide shots are sunny days? I mean, there are so many issues, and I want to turn it off, and I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense. Those two shots back-to-back are totally incongruous. But I didn't turn it off. And you know who was the big winner at the end? Me.
You.
Sharknado 2. It can't get here fast enough. Another one bites the